This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast or online at plpreview.com.
Hello, you're very welcome to the Premier League Preview Podcast. I'm Sean Fitzmaurice, joined as always by Mr. Owen Maloney.
Howdy, howdy.
It's match week 25.
Jesus.
Yep, getting right into the thick of it now. On the countdown is on.
It's weird because I suppose we started this obviously back in August and maybe even September. And you find yourself going into game weeks 8, 9, 10. You said, oh, you're really into the thick of the season now. Within 2 or 3 months, we're going to be gone. How is it over already? It's just strange. It flies once you get into it. It just comes so thick and fast. And
it absolutely does. Just a little public service announcement at the start of the podcast. We didn't have a podcast for the last game week because it happened in the middle of the week, which is just really awkward to get a preview podcast out for. And we're recording this one late. Both myself and Mr. Maloney in front of me work for a newspaper. And if you're not from Ireland, you might like to know that we're in the midst of a general election. And that just means if you work in the news, you're a very busy person.
A lot of fucking work, to sum it up. So, yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have a lot of time to be working on your podcasts that you do for the pure love of it. All that stuff has to be put to the side. But we're here now.
Yeah, we have time.
It's Thursday. It's a couple of days off match week, and we're going to talk about some very interesting games, not least Leicester versus Chelsea.
Massive clash, isn't it?
Third versus second. Second, third versus fourth.
Yeah. See, we're so long away from it now, we're starting to slip up. No, but this is huge. It's bigger for Chelsea, you'd imagine. They will just be looking to keep Man United at bay, solidify their place within the top four, whereas Leicester, they're pretty much all bar a miracle guaranteed Champions League spot. They're 14 points ahead of United now. It would take something drastic to happen for United to catch them, considering the form United are in anyway. And it would be very hard to see Spurs or Wolves going on a bit of a run as well, where they could corral Leicester. So Leicester looks safe. To me, this is all about Chelsea. Their form has been very patchy in the last few games. They've been up and down like a whore's knickers, as they say in Ireland. And they need to steady the ship. If they don't, United could conceivably overtake them in the next few weeks, and that is something that wasn't envisaged about a month or so ago.
Realistically, Chelsea have to be very disappointed that they haven't wrapped up that fourth spot at this point. Like, United have dropped so many points this season, and Chelsea, well, they should have had that wrapped up. They've dropped points in games they really shouldn't have. I mean, they lost to West Ham, and nobody in the top half of the table is losing to West Ham this season. And there's games like that they really should have won. I think Bournemouth was another one.
And Bournemouth battered them in the bridge as well.
Exactly, yeah. And then there's the other side to Chelsea. They can go out some weeks and they can score 4 or 5 against teams. But they have to be looking at this season so far and be disappointed that they haven't wrapped up that fourth spot.
Oh, without doubt. Coming off a draw against Arsenal as well, a 10-man Arsenal, they'll be very frustrated with that. They should have put Arsenal away. Every opportunity was afforded, and Arsenal went that majority of that game with 10 men. After David Luiz was shown a straight red, and to be honest, it wasn't his fault. It was the pass back from, oh my God, who was
Mustafi.
From Mustafi, yeah. It was an awful pass back from Mustafi, and Luiz was trying to recover from it and couldn't. Brought the Chelsea striker down, and it was clear penalty, clear red card, and you're looking into roughly an hour to 70 minutes, a man down, and you still can't put him away.
Yeah,
at home. So, and that's with Arsenal at the minute. Arsenal, their back four at the minute is atrocious. So,
but that was a weird sort of a game because Arsenal, they haven't been great since Arteta took over. They weren't great before he took over, but for some reason, when they went down to 10 men against Chelsea, it's the best they've played all season. They were far better than Chelsea with 10 men, and they were better than they were when they had 11 men.
They look like they found a good player in that Martinelli, that young lad. Arteta is getting a serious tune out of him.
Yeah, he's class. But in fairness, Emery was getting him to play well as well. He played a couple of Carabao Cup games. He played against Liverpool. He scored. He was very good.
I think they said he's the first 18-year-old to score 10 goals in a season, or 10 goals for Arsenal, since Nicolas Anelka. So that's it. That's an interesting one there.
That is an interesting one. Granit Xhaka was moved into
the centre defence.
Centre defence in that game. And it was probably the best I've ever seen Granit Xhaka play. I think Arsenal, if they're smart, they could uncover a bit of a gem there, because let's face it, he's a useless midfielder.
Yeah, he's indisciplined at best.
And Arsenal's three centre-back choices, Mustafi, Luis and Socrates.
And they're going to be without Luis now for two or three games.
Are useless centre-backs. Yeah. So why not use the useless midfielder who's a good centre-back?
Yeah, it could transpire. I'd say you might see it this weekend. But I suppose back to the task at hand. We've seen Leicester's form has been a bit patchy in the last few games as well. They're up and down.
Yeah,
when they're good, they're good. But when they're bad, they're looking a bit dismal. It looks like it smacks of a team that knows the league is gone, knows they're safe in Champions League spots. Now, don't get me wrong, they're playing with a bit of hunger, but it's that extra little couple of percent that makes a difference. And they probably now know that they are all but a calamitous collapse. We'll see them be safe and they'll finish third or fourth.
If you had asked me on the 1st of December who would have won this game, I would have said Leicester by probably 4 or 5 goals. But kind of since the second week of December, Leicester's form it's not that it's dipped, it's just become unpredictable. Like, I mean, they put 4 past West Ham last week, but through the December fixtures, there was a couple of draws and a couple of losses that you didn't expect them to have. And it took them out of the title race. And it took their challenge for City away. So they really, I don't think they have to worry about Chelsea. They have 8-point gap. But if their form continues the way it does and Chelsea's pick up, then they could drop into fourth. But realistically, this fixture at the King Power Stadium, I don't see really Chelsea taking too much from it.
Yeah, neither do I. And I think Tammy Abraham could be a doubt as well. He picked up a knock, not against Chelsea in the game previous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% sure if he's going to be fully fit. So that would be a big loss again.
Yeah.
So
yeah. They do have a Batshuayi, but he Lampard doesn't really tend to fancy him.
He hasn't played enough for me to be anyway confident in his abilities whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I don't know, being in the King Power, both have spotty form, but to me, I'd fancy Leicester. The defence is that bit more rock solid. Although Chelsea they were a bit kind of gung-ho at the start of the season. They have solidified it a bit.
Yeah.
But still, you'd have to fancy Leicester that bit more, despite the fact that both have been very topsy-turvy in the last few games. Leicester, obviously, with their win last weekend, stopped a 2-game losing run, and they battered West Ham, to be fair. But as you said, a lot of teams are battering West Ham at the minute.
I do have to say, I think Tomori is a class act.
I think
he's going to be a class defender. And I think if they can get an experienced or more steady defender in there beside him, they could have the makings of a very good centre-back partnership. But I think Kurt Zouma is not the man. I think Christensen isn't fit enough or fit regularly enough. So I think Tomori does look like the future, but he needs a bit of help there.
Yeah, definitely agreed. What would you think this weekend?
I think Leicester.
I think now Chelsea, it'll be a good game, but I just fancy Leicester to score too, maybe.
I think Chelsea have a bit of a confidence problem as well. I think a few of the beatings they've got have affected them, and I think a better side like Leicester could play on that.
Yeah, if Leicester score early, I imagine get their tails up, they'll be hard to catch.
Yeah. Okay, the next big game this week is, well, it should really be a top-of-the-table clash, but it's really mid-table versus top-of-the-table clash now. It's Spurs versus Man City.
Yeah, Spurs grind another 2-1 against Norwich at home last weekend.
Yeah, I think that was the first game they've won in a while as well.
It is. It's their first game in five, first win in five. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, things are not. Yeah, and when you, it just goes to show they're still in contention for Europa and still sit just 6 points behind Chelsea. Like, you're sitting right there with Man United and Wolves.
Yeah,
it's wedged in between them in sixth. That just
shows where the league
is. Yeah, they're four. Like, they're not even on track for 1.5 points per game, and they're still in a relatively okay position to challenge for Champions League if they go on a bit of a run. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that is ridiculous.
It is.
But looking ahead to this fixture, they're at home, but to me, that doesn't tend to matter to Spurs too much this season.
Yeah,
and I think City, while they were kind of floundering a small bit in the mid part of the season, and I just see them going on a run now again. Aguero looks razor sharp again. Jesus has filled in for a few weeks and is scoring. De Bruyne is still in razor sharp form. Watching the Carabao last night, they scored an incredible team goal that was disallowed for offside. It was just a work of art, but they look sharp. While we know what City's frailties are and they're at the back, I just still fancy that they're better than Spurs. I just think they're, you can trust them.
I think this game may be very similar to the Spurs-Liverpool game of a couple of weeks ago. I think Mourinho's going to set up not to concede.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Yeah, this is going to be relatively defensive.
But I think City are even better equipped to Liverpool than Liverpool to score in those situations. Mm. Like they have kind of smarter, tricky players, the likes of Bernardo Silva and David Silva,
De Bruyne,
Sterling, players that can unpick that sort of defence at ease.
The one thing I will say though, we saw it when Spurs played Liverpool and we might see it again when they do have to sit back. They're clever enough in how to deploy their counter-attack. They'll use their quick forwards. They'll use Ali, Son, Lucas Moura. And it might work because we saw it worked for United against City.
Yeah,
that speed up, if you can catch them on the counter with speed, obviously didn't work for Spurs against Liverpool. Moura just had to drop too deep. They were just playing too deep. But if they can effectively counter with speed with the front three, they could catch City out. And I fancy them to score, but I just fancy City to score maybe one more.
Yeah, I was watching the Carabao Cup game between United and City. City lost to United at the Etihad again, which they obviously won't be happy about. I know they went through on goal difference. But there was a couple of opportunities where if United had Rashford fit, it could have been a carbon copy of the Premier League game that happened there a few weeks ago. So Spurs, just building on what you just said there, Spurs are much more equipped to deal with to make use of those counterattacks.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're as well equipped defensively as some of Mourinho's past sides that he used to sit back. Even when he was with United and he parked the bus against Liverpool and stuff like that. I don't think Spurs can do that. I think
they haven't done it. They weren't doing it under Poch at all. This is the complete antithesis of what way they used to play when they were with Poch. And now they're being asked to do something that they've never done. So you can imagine there's going to be teething problems, but they might be able to make it work. But testing it against Man City can be a very dangerous move. And I think it will be. I also, looking at it as a squad perspective, they've now obviously Eriksen has gone. Not surprised he left. That was the writing was on the wall there for a while. He's got his big money move. He's earning something ridiculous like 300 grand a week at his age. He's never going to turn that down.
Yeah.
But that's one kind of person less. That's one kind of architect less that they have, and they don't have that many of them.
But I think Eriksen leaving Spurs is bigger than one player leaving.
It's an attitude, yeah.
But not even that. He has been, over the past few years, the main creative spark in midfield.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, they don't have a player. Like, Lamella's not going to create what Eriksen could create. Oh. Dele Alli's won't create what Eriksen can create. Like, Pochettino built that entire team around Eriksen.
Mm.
I know Harry Kane scored all the goals, but Kane wouldn't have scored all those goals.
No, Eriksen was a vital part,
what Eriksen did. And Spurs are going to seriously struggle without him.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a proper creative midfielder. Ali can do little bits and pieces, but he's not.
No, they don't have a replacement for Eriksen. It will be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Because no doubt Mourinho has his eye on a replacement.
Yeah.
It's just who and when. It'll likely be the summer now. But who and when, but the rest of the season, it almost feels like he's writing it off until he gets his stamp on the squad. But
Harry Winks isn't going to really be that type of player either.
No, definitely not. But I suppose in relation to this one, I see City doing it relatively comfortably. I think they would maybe win 3-1. And while obviously we're talking about the Carabao Cup fixture, bar David De Gea, that was a stonking for United. He got him out of jail. He made some brilliant saves. City were all over them for the majority.
Had City been more clinical, that could have been a cricket score.
And they had goals disallowed, everything. But
City also have the luxury of having Laporte back fit and playing, which means Fernandinho getting be released from that position,
that
go back into midfield
hole,
and then you're looking at pretty much the City that went on that incredible run last season.
You are, and I think you're going to see, I honestly believe you're going to see something similar. Not to that effect, I don't think they'll go unbeaten for the last 14 games of the season, but they might win 12 or 13 of those games and finish off the season really well. And I think it starts here. I just don't see Spurs doing it. I just don't have much faith in Spurs.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a comfortable victory for City.
I think in 3-1-ish, I think it'll be relatively comfortable, but I do think Spurs will score because I can just see that speed at the front eventually cashing City out. But as you said now, Laporte back, obviously he's only gradually going through the gears. Mm. He can't be fully fit after, he's only back two weeks or so, but he'll be hitting fever pitch relatively soon, and that's a massive boost for City. But in relation to this game, I think they'll win and win relatively comfortably.
Yeah, let's have enough look at what is another massive fixture. It's two teams that are on level points in joint fifth, I suppose you could call it, Spurs and Wolves.
Yeah.
Wolves are, I think they're a class side.
They are.
Sorry,
they
United, United and Wolves.
Well, United and Wolves, yeah.
Did I say Spurs and Wolves?
I think you did, but sure.
I meant United and Wolves.
I suppose we were just talking Leicester-Chelsea, now we're talking United-Wolves, and we were just talking Spurs and City. Bar City, all of those are all kind of, they're all kind of intermingled in the sense that they're fighting it out for top four.
On current form of these two sides, if I was sitting down to play a game of FIFA on the PlayStation and I was given those two sides on current form, I'd be picking Wolves all day long.
It's hard to know. I can see where you're coming from, but they've only won one game in five now. Now, they had a tough fixture list in the last month or so.
They had
to play Liverpool twice.
Yeah.
They've had a run of tough fixtures, in fairness to them, but at the same time,
they still equipped themselves very well in those fixtures.
They gave Liverpool awful trouble, and they were the first side to score against them in eight games. And
I think they were unlucky against Liverpool twice.
They were. In fairness, they were very unlucky to not at least take a point out of those two fixtures. In that respect, you'd have to respect them massively. But at the same time, you're looking at three losses and five and one win. Their form has taken, while the last month or two they have been very impressive, and they started the season slowly and they absolutely rocketed up the table and they play gorgeous football, but I don't know, I'm finding myself leaning towards Man United in this one.
Yeah,
even though they've lost three of their last five too.
But one thing about Man United is this is at Old Trafford, and United have, as bad and all as United are this season in terms of how United should be, they've only lost one game at home this season. That was last week against Burnley.
That was in a disastrous performance.
So you would expect
a backlash is what I would be. That's why I'm expecting. That's why I'm tipping Man United. I see a backlash.
You would expect a backlash, but you'd expect them to regain their home form because they have all of their poor results really have been away from home.
Yeah. I don't think Rashford's going to be back.
No, I think he's out for the rest of the season. Double fracture, double stress fracture in his spine.
Oh, Jesus, sorry. I didn't realise that had been confirmed. I thought it was a small issue that it was going to be a few weeks. I didn't realise that it was okay.
Well, the last I heard it was 3 months. So.
Oh, right. Never mind. Yeah. Okay, he won't be back.
Yeah.
That's a massive loss because he's been their best player this season. He's been very good up front. Yeah. I saw a stat somewhere that in the Premier League, I think it was 39 goals for Greenwood, Lingard. Was it Greenwood, Martial and Rashford? And it was the front three of Liverpool at 38 now.
Yeah.
That included Carabao Cup and FA Cup, which the front three of Liverpool
and
didn't
Europa
play.
League.
And Europa League, exactly. But I still think it was 23 of the goals were Premier League. So and obviously Rashford had been the kind of spearhead of that. So he's going to be a massive loss, but I don't know. There's something about this fixture telling me United are going to grind this out and they're going to be hoping that Leicester's gain is also their gain. I just have a funny feeling United could go within 3 points of Chelsea here this weekend.
Like United, there's a lot of things wrong at United and they've a lot of frailties, but one of the biggest issues at United is they never replaced Lukaku. And while Rashford was on song, that was fine, but now they're really going to pay the price because they don't have Rashford. But this is an opportunity for someone like Mason Greenwood to stand up and be counted.
It is. He's very young, but he has a chance.
He's very young, but he's scored a couple of good goals. The goals I've seen him score, they're not, it's not luck or positioning. They're good goals. And he has, it would appear he has everything it takes to be a good United striker. Mm. So, he should be. Martial just hasn't cut the mustard.
I was just going to say, that was going to be my next question. At what point do we just call Martial a bust? Because that's what he's
I think
been.
It's
Barrag, quick start for United. I don't think he's
I think
really
it's getting there. He's been there, 3 years now? He, at times, can be sublime.
Yeah.
And he has the ability, but he just doesn't do it regular enough. If you want to be a top striker at a team like Manchester United, you need to be scoring 20 plus goals every season.
Agreed.
And that's just a starting point. You know, it needs to be beyond that. And Martial, I was a big fan of his, and I really thought I'd seen he had potential, and I used to complain that Mourinho played him out on the wing when he's a striker and did let other people play through the middle. But he's had opportunities through the middle now, and he just hasn't shown it. No. I think you can see him going back to France or somewhere like that fairly soon.
Yeah, I completely agree. I just don't think he's of the standard required, and I do think this will be his last season in a Manchester United jersey. I think he will be shipped off elsewhere, because if they have any real designs in becoming a top club again, they're going to have to invest this summer again. They're going to continually have to invest.
Well, I don't think they'll let him go unless they bought another two strikers, because they are light up front. And that's being highlighted now with Rashford.
They'll need someone along with Rashford. You can't rely on him all the time. And Mason Greenwood is very young. Lingard isn't the colour of a Premier League footballer. He's just not good enough. So you're left with nothing really there. But I don't know. Something's just telling me they're going to grind out a win here against Wolves. Wolves have kind of... I just hope while they have... had a tough run of fixtures, I just hope their recent losses don't kind of start a bit of a downward spiral. But I just have a funny feeling it may. And United have lost their last two. They're playing at home. They're going to Saturday evening game. They're going to have the crowd behind them. They're going to be really baying for blood. And I think it's a very telling thing that Leicester-Chelsea is on a 12:30. So if Leicester do beat Chelsea, they know with a win they can move within three of Champions League. Now, it will be a crime against football if Man United manage to qualify for the Champions League this year. Yeah. But they could quite conceivably, because Leicester will be favourites for this game, they could quite conceivably be within one win of Champions League spot. And that is ridiculous.
But so could Wolves.
I know they could, but I don't see it being sustained until the 38th game of the season for me with Wolves. I just don't see it. I think United, if they get within that smell, like they have still some top players in the squad and winners in the squad, even though the squad has depleted a good bit in the last few years, but they have players that have been in this position before and have been winning things, and if they can get within it, it might just kickstart something, even though, to be quite honest, I don't want it to happen. Yeah. I could see it happening. Do you know that type of way?
I just think Wolves have a better team and they have a better squad and they play better football than you.
Play better football, without doubt. Definitely, yeah. You have to love the way they play. And the thing is with Wolves as well, they put teams under fierce pressure towards the end of games. And I really like that. And they've been unlucky, in fairness, especially in the two games against Liverpool. And at each time, they looked like they were going to basically derail Liverpool's kind of winning run. But couldn't in the end. But they are going to pose a stern test. But I don't know. So it's more gut than brain. But something is just telling me, you know, they're going to grind out a horrible win here. And I have a funny feeling it'll move them within 3 points of Premier League, of Champions League.
Well, I'm looking at Wolves, Spurs and United all on 34 points. And the only one that I can see personally genuinely challenging for a Champions League spot is Wolves.
Do you think so?
I think so. Yeah.
I'd rule Spurs out. They're too hot. They hum and haw too much. Kane being out is obviously going to hurt them so much.
But even in terms of consistency, Wolves are far more consistent than the other two. Like United, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
United are great if they're playing one of the top three or four teams. But outside of that, you just don't know what you're going to get. Spurs, since Mourinho took over, I don't even know how they're in the position they're in, because they're brutal.
Yeah.
But Wolves, you get a good performance every week. Now, sometimes they're unlucky, like against Liverpool, but they put in a good performance every week and it's consistent.
Yeah, they've only lost 6 games as well, which is the joint third best record after Liverpool, obviously, and City. That's like, it goes to show, whereas United have lost 8 games, Spurs have lost 8.
Yeah.
So I can see where you're coming from, but just something is just telling me that imposter syndrome might kick in a bit. They might get nosebleeds going, oh Jesus, we're in the running for Champions League here. I know they're in the last 32 of the Europa League, which is obviously a great experience for their squad, but I just have a funny feeling they might get a bit of a nosebleed going, oh, we're in the running for Champions League here. It might dawn on them a bit more than it might United, and I just think that might get United over the line in terms of whether it be finishing fifth or fourth or what. Yeah. But I just do see United kicking on. I think it starts here, unfortunately. Because I love Wolves, and you want to see clubs like Wolves that have risen from the ashes in the last few years do well again and even if they made Champions League, it'd be incredible for that club.
Absolutely.
But you'd love to see it, but I don't know. I don't see it myself.
I'm going to go for a draw in this game.
I'm going to go a scrappy United win.
Right. Let's move on to the opposite end of the table. And Bournemouth, who looked to be, they won a game.
Yeah, they won.
They won a game, which they haven't done for quite a while. They won a game last week. And they're playing Aston Villa, who, again, won a game last week after not winning for a long time. So
huge game for Aston Villa beating Watford. Massive. And the same with Bournemouth beating Brighton. Yeah. Now Brighton are really in the battle.
Yeah. No, we both said earlier on in the season that Brighton would be down, dragged into that point, into that zone at some point, because they just don't have the squad to be up around the middle of the table. Now, maybe
there's a bit of a little gap opening, isn't there, when you see Newcastle there in 14th on 30 and then you've Brighton in 15th on 25.
Yeah.
That's 5 points. Maybe while at the top of the table isn't massive, and we've seen big swings at the bottom of the table when you're scrapping for draws and wins here and there, that's the bit of a buffer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think Brighton now, by virtue of losing to Villa, have been really Brighton, by virtue of losing to Bournemouth, last week, have really been dragged into that fight, and it's now a six-way goal for 3 places for survival.
Yeah, it's hard to see what way this Bournemouth-Villa game will go, because Bournemouth we know to be a very good side, and they have been since they've been in the Premier League, but they've got a lot of injuries and gone on an awful run of form. And probably before last week, I would have said Villa would win this just because Bournemouth are in such bad form and the confidence is so low. But then they went and beat Brighton 3-1, so that kind of...
Scoring 3 goals will really help them.
Yeah.
That'll really help. There'll be a feel-good factor this week around Bournemouth saying, look, there's life in the old dog yet, we're not dead yet. And
it's at the vitality as well.
Exactly, and they know they can overtake Villa with a win.
Yeah.
And that's huge. They could potentially be 15th from 18th after... If they win this weekend. Now it's unlikely, but you know, the results will have to go their way. But still, they know this is a huge, huge game, and as you said, it's at the vitality. But Villa will obviously be buoyed by their Carabao Cup qualification for the final as well.
Yeah,
that's massive. Like, they obviously went through on goal difference against Leicester, but still, massive.
Massive for them. Yeah,
that's huge. And as you said, won their last Premier League game, a hard fought win against Watford. And we've seen with Watford in recent weeks, their form has been very good in recent weeks. They hadn't lost in their last 5 or 6 games.
Yeah.
So that's a massive result for Villa. But we've seen it with Villa all season. They're up and down. It's very hard to know what type of performance you're going to get.
Occasionally, though, and we've seen it in the past, when a team is fighting relegation and they go on a good cup run and get to a cup final, it could be an unnecessary distraction. We've seen it with Wigan a few years ago, getting to the FA Cup final and getting relegated in the same season.
And it's
happened a few times in recent seasons. I can't just think of the other teams. It's just Wigan is one that stands out. Aston Villa, while it's great for them to get to the Carabao Cup final, it's massive for a club like Aston Villa to get to the final, but they're probably going to get beaten 15-0 by Manchester City.
Yeah.
You know, when they should be really focusing on where they are in the table at the moment, and they're looking more and more likely every day to get relegated.
Yeah.
So if I was a Villa supporter, I would say just forget about the Carabao Cup and just put all your effort into staying in this league.
As bad of a run of form as Bournemouth have been on, they've conceded 37 goals this evening. Villa have conceded 8 more, 45.
Yeah.
It is, barring Norwich, the most goals conceded in the league. And that tells a story.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see goals in this game. I could see this being a 3-2 type job.
Yeah.
But I have a funny feeling that win last week for Bournemouth, will turn it around. They'd lost their last 4 or 5 even previous to that. I just have a funny feeling this is the corner. We predicted it a few weeks ago that they're going to eventually get a result somewhere and it'll turn the corner.
Yeah.
Funny feeling that'll be it. And I think this is a massive opportunity. Like, if you're Bournemouth and you're saying, we're digging in here to stay up, this is the game you're hoping for. Like, this is a chance to usurp one of your relegation rivals and get a run of games going. It'll be 2 wins on the bounce. It's huge. 3 points when you're coming toward the tail end. Well, it'll be 14 games left, but coming toward the back end of the season. And you know these games are huge. This is the fixture you want. And I just have a funny feeling Bournemouth, like, and the vitality can be kicking too. The crowd are right near on the pitch and they get right in it. I think that'll help them massively. The win last week will obviously be huge. And I just see this being a Bournemouth win, but I think it'll be a bit of a goal fest. I just have a funny feeling this could be a high scoring kind of one of those game of the season contenders, but I just see Bournemouth edging it.
I'm not sure about the goal fest thing. I think you might be romanticising it a little bit there, but
neither team can defend really.
I do think Bournemouth will win it though.
Yeah.
I do see Bournemouth winning it.
Bournemouth have got a taste for goals, and I just have a funny feeling they're going to be hungry for more. And I think this is a defence that they can get him against.
Yeah, yeah.
And likewise, they haven't been able to really stop the rot at the other end. So I just see it opening up a bit. See it being a fairly exciting, entertaining game. As I'm saying all this now, knowing my luck, it'll be a nil all. But I think Bournemouth will edge it.
Speaking of nil alls, let's have a look at Crystal Palace versus Sheffield United.
The Iron Curtain, Jesus. This is going to be brutal to watch, I'd say, to be honest.
It has all the hallmarks of it all.
That's going to be a dour affair.
Yeah.
How can you call that? Like, both teams, as you said, are very, very good at
nil all. I think it's just going
to
be
it
nil
has
all.
I completely agree with you, to be honest. Like, how do you discern? Like, Crystal Palace had drawn their last four before their last week, like to Southampton last week.
Yeah.
And they'd drawn their last four. It just says a lot about Palace this season. They're hard to beat, but
hard to win as well.
They don't usually beat you either. Yeah. You know, so Sheffield United have kind of been up and down a bit. They've only won one of their last five now. Yeah. They're gone from kind of they're still only a point behind fifth, but they were fifth, and they were not. They had a bit of a breathing room. That's evaporated now.
Yeah, and they had some tough fixtures, in fairness. People forget they are a newly promoted side. Their last game was against Manchester City, and they only conceded one goal.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot to be said for that. Most newly promoted sides are shipping five and six to City.
Yeah, I think Aguero didn't start and came on and scored after 5 minutes or something. And probably showed his class there. But other than that, they were really resilient against City.
Exactly, yeah. I think they're better than Crystal Palace.
Oh, they are, 100%.
But most teams in the league are better than Crystal Palace, and Crystal Palace still manage to eke out draws or scrappy wins. So it's really, like, it looks like a nil-all. If it's a good game, it could be a 1-1. And I think that's the holy all of it.
Looking at it now, you have Newcastle on 14th on 30, Burnley 13th 30, Everton 12th 30, Crystal Palace 11th 30, Arsenal 10th 30. It's so congested, but I think all of those, and it's so strange to even include Arsenal in that list, they look like they've done enough now, because there's so much floundering and so many buffers between them, so many teams between them, things could go so wrong for.
Yeah.
They look like they're safe, and that's massive for Crystal Palace, because we did predict that they were going down. They have a fairly lackluster squad.
Yeah.
And things aren't going well at the minute. They haven't won. They've only got one. Well, they've got 4 points from the last five games, but they haven't won a game in yonks.
Yeah.
They're slowly but surely just scratching off the calendar with point after point from draws.
Yeah.
They're going to get over the line. It looks like they should get to 39, 40 points and they'll be safe. But there's not much to shout about in this game. Both teams are safe. And that would have been their objective at the start of the season. They have more or less achieved that already, and I think this could be a horrible, miserable nil all, and I agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of horrible, miserable nil alls, let's have a look at Newcastle Norwich.
Oh, that was a lovely segue. I enjoyed that. Yeah. This is going to be fairly miserable. Newcastle 1-5, Norwich hopeless at the bottom. They're relegated.
I think Newcastle actually will win this game. I think Norwich are so poor defensively. They play nice football, but their league position doesn't lie. They're stuck to the bottom of the table on 17 points, 6 points away from the next contender. Newcastle will be at home. They'll see this as an opportunity to get 3 points and a comfortable 3 points, and I think that's the way it'll go. I don't think Newcastle will score a bag of goals, but I think they'll beat them.
You learn it against Newcastle, as Everton found out last week with Lejeune scoring two goals in the 91st and 96th minute, something like that. It was ridiculous. Complete brain fart from Everton. Thought they'd the game won, completely switched off and paid the ultimate price. But Newcastle are tough, in fairness to them. I thought they'd go down. They're not going to, by the looks of it, unless they just stop playing from now until the end of the season. It's going to be a tough, scrappy game. Norwich are relatively hopeless. They're playing fits and starts. Could sneak a goal. But I don't know. This looks like Newcastle might just have enough at home.
I think so.
It's going to be a proper grinded out war of attrition, maybe 1-0 for Newcastle, I'd say. Yeah. I won't be watching this one, put it that way.
No, there's better fixtures at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Speaking of,
West Ham might have the opportunity to actually win a game of football, because they're playing Brighton at the London Stadium.
Ooh, I wouldn't bank in it.
No, because
I wouldn't bank in it.
Like, West Ham are in 17th. They're level on points with 18th and the 19th. The four bottom teams, Norwich at the bottom, and then the three teams above are Watford, Bournemouth and West Ham. West Ham to be on 23 points and close to getting relegated and still not winning games with new management is abysmal for the players they have.
Yeah, 4 points from their last five games. That probably won't save them. They're going to need to up their ratio
quite
considerably.
I said David Moyes was a bad move, and I stick by what I said. And if West Ham get relegated this season, it'll be an absolute disgrace, but they'll only have themselves to blame. There's players there like Felipe Anderson, Lanzini, Forlans, even Mark Noble, Antonio. They're good Premier League players.
Yeah.
They're not top four players, but they're good Premier League players, and they should not be fighting relegation.
There seems to be a crisis of confidence in the club, because I know they were playing runaway league leaders Liverpool last night, but at the same time, they pretty much were submissive. They just sat back, let Liverpool have all the ball. I know it's easy for us to say it from here and go out and actually do it is a different thing.
Yeah.
But they posed no risk whatsoever to Liverpool. Sat back, took it, just took what Liverpool had to offer. The very odd counter-attack, did nothing with it. And it was a fairly listless display. And they're rolling into that after getting hammered by Leicester 4-1.
Yeah.
I fancy Brighton to give themselves a bit of breathing room here. I think Brighton might sneak this. I really do. I think West Ham might go down.
If Brighton win this game, I'm nearly sure West Ham will go down. Because if they can't win this game at home,
this is huge. What games are they going to win if they don't win this?
If they can't beat Brighton at home with the squad they have, then you may say goodnight to the Premier League. Yeah. And it would be an atrocity for that club with the new ground they have and the players they have and the investment they have. To go into the this is we're looking at Leeds United all over again.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. They'd want to. I don't see it turn around that quickly. If Moyes does manage to turn around, fair play. If he can get the kind of hunger back, but they just look on a downward trajectory, and I don't see anyone stopping it. But I don't know. Brighton are very tough. We've said it.
Yeah.
If you beat Brighton, you earn it, and I just have a funny feeling that they're going to try and really rebound. They're tough, and they're going to rebound from that Norwich or that Bournemouth. Why do I keep mistaking every club for Bournemouth? But they're going to rebound from that loss to Bournemouth.
I think if Brighton win this game, I think you might see West Ham with their third manager of the season.
Wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me.
Because they're in crisis, and they need to react. They don't have the luxury of being able to sustain this for much longer.
Yeah, they're in a spot of bother, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go with a Brighton win. I'm going to agree with you on that.
Yeah, I think Brighton will snatch 3 points here.
Yeah. Speaking of teams with abysmal form, Watford versus Everton.
In fairness to Everton now, I'd say they can't believe that they didn't get 3 points last week. But
also, in fairness to Watford, Pearson was doing very well. They got some really good results. Just kind of stumbled last week, but other than that, they have started to turn things around. They've got off the bottom of the table. They were out of the relegation zone. They did get dragged back in.
In fairness, between the two clubs, they've only lost two of their last 10. Yeah. Both of them have Watford. Yeah, as you said, they were hopeless at the bottom.
Yeah.
Now they're looking up. They're looking at teams kind of to claw in instead of looking over their shoulder.
Yeah.
And this could be a tasty enough one, because Watford have found, Deeney has found form, Watford have found form. Yeah,
they're stubborn as well. They've become stubborn under Pearson.
Pearson, yeah.
We said it before, they didn't have the squad to be in the position they were in. Some bad management choices. It went wrong for Gracia at the start of the season. Bringing Kike Sanchez Flores back was obviously a bad decision. But Pearson has got them playing to their potential and defending to their potential, which is the important thing, and not conceding goals. Disappointing result against Aston Villa last week, but I don't see that being the norm. I can see Pearson continuing what he's doing. It's going to be a tough fixture for Everton to go there.
I think Everton showed their frailties against Newcastle to give away that goal. It shows mental frailties.
Yeah.
Their squad that have a considerable amount of talent.
Yeah.
And I was actually delighted to see Keane score a goal, because I want him to do well in this league, and I think he will. He's a lot of pressure on him. He's obviously very young, endured a shit time of it in Italy. I hope he does well, and it's nice to see him score, but just that Everton should have had that game wrapped up. That is just inexcusable to do what they did. It's just a lack of concentration, a lack of balls, and a lack of steel. They need to get that back. And this isn't going to be an easy fixture for them going down to Watford. Watford won't give anything easy. They're fighting for their lives. Everton now are more than likely safe from their mid kind of their spurt about the last month.
Yeah.
They'd got themselves out of that absolutely ridiculous situation they were in. And I just see Watford being the hungrier here. Now it's hard. Do you know what? I think Watford are going to win this. I think they're going to grind out a win here. I think they're going to want it more. And I think if you want it more against Everton, you can get it.
Based on the last four or five fixtures, I find it hard to disagree with you. Mm. Just from what we've seen from Watford since Pearson took over, removing that Aston Villa game, I just think, I don't think Watford are going to get beaten, put it that way.
Yeah, it was a bit of a turnaround now losing to Villa, but as we've seen with Villa, you just don't know what you're going to get with them.
Yeah.
It's hard to judge any team against Aston Villa and any performance against them.
Yeah.
But I just think Watford are going to really be dogged, and I just think they're going to just do enough. They might just get sneak 3 points here.
I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to sit in the fence. Liverpool are the runaway league leaders. They've now got a 19-point gap at the top of the table. They haven't lost a game at Anfield in 3 years, coming in on 3 years now. In April, it'll be 3 years. Are Southampton the team to do that, to beat them?
No. while Southampton they've only lost one of the last five, have got 10 points from their last 15 games. And when you consider the run of form that they'd been on, they were looking in serious danger going down, and now they're sitting in ninth and they're only 3 points off fifth position. It's crazy. Ridiculous. But
I made the point on our last podcast that, Southampton are seeing the benefit of sticking with their manager. And no, it's not always the answer to just sack a manager when there's a bad run of form. If the manager still has the backing of the dressing room, then stick with him and he can turn it around. And that's what Hasenhüttl has done with Southampton. They're in ninth place. They would have, if you offered Southampton ninth place at the start of the season, they would have said thank you very much.
Yeah, 100%.
So it was an awful run of form they were on. They could go, it could turn around again. It could get better. It could get worse. It's hard to know, but you have to take your hat off to the club and to Hasenhüttl for what they've done in turning it around. I think this will be a tough test for Liverpool, because it's not the same Southampton that was around 4 or 5 weeks ago. They're playing well. Danny Ings is scoring goals. They're defending well. There's just a new buoyancy.
Yeah, there is. They're a different kettle of fish. Yeah. They're a different proposition to what they would have been a month ago.
Yeah.
Like, when you're looking at it though, they've lost 11 games this season. I think only five teams have lost more games than that. And when you're in eighth and you've lost maybe the fifth or sixth most amount of games in a season, that means you're winning games.
Yeah.
They have been winning games, but they've been picking their moments to win games.
Yeah.
And they've gotten 3 points. No, the Leicester game was huge for them.
Yeah.
That was an incredible game. Ridiculous entertainment for 90 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But that 3 points was huge, and they've gotten 3 points like that that have kept them far above what they probably would have expected. Maybe it's set well, maybe not, but far above what they would have expected a month ago anyway.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it being enough here.
I think Liverpool are going to win this one.
It's so hard to not tip Liverpool in Anfield. Like, they're just continually winning games. They're finding ways to win. The only maybe tiny chink of doubt is Mane, and he has obviously been Liverpool's best creative and attacking player this season.
Yeah.
Maybe the goal, they might struggle to score, but it's unlikely. I think they'll eventually score one or two, and I just don't see Southampton troubling them enough. But who knows? Who knows? But I just don't see it to me. I see Liverpool winning this.
I would be very concerned if this was at Southampton's ground. If it was an away fixture for Liverpool, I think that I would be quite concerned just because of the form that Southampton are in and the turnaround they've had. But just going on the fact that no one can win at Anfield. Yeah. Literally no one can go win at Anfield. It's hard to say. It's hard for me to look at it and predict someone to go and win, because it's been so long.
We're looking at the proposition now that Liverpool could be 22 points clear come 5 o'clock on Saturday. Obviously City would have a game in hand there, but Liverpool will be 22 points clear of everyone else. That's ridiculous.
That's obscene.
That just needs to be pointed out, that it's actually ridiculous what's going on. Yeah. But in fairness, everyone in the world is talking about it, so we won't chime on about it for too long, but that's just, they could be 22 points clear with only 25 games played, is utterly ridiculous. But I suppose we're both tipping Liverpool.
Yeah, I think so. Liverpool to win on this one. The last game we have to talk about today is one that is massively unpredictable, I would say. Burnley,
hugely
Burnley versus Arsenal. Arsenal are the most unpredictable team in the Premier League, and they have the most unpredictable defence. We spoke about that at the start of the podcast.
We'll be without Louise for this fixture now as well.
Which is probably a blessing.
Maybe. Who knows? What in the hell could you can expect? But Burnley, obviously then going to Old Trafford last week and winning 2-0 has been a massively needed boost for Sean Dyche and co.
Yeah.
That has, again, brought them into that band of the league with on 30 points that are 5 points clear of Brighton and 15th. So
like
they're probably breathing a small sigh of relief.
A fortnight ago, people were looking at Burnley going, Jesus, they could be heading for relegation very quickly. Like they lost a lot of games and they lost them well. Like they were well beaten. But again, there's been a turnaround. It's kind of weird because we were talking for weeks, we were talking about a number of teams that all had this kind of consistently bad form or consistently good form. But in the last fortnight or so, so many teams have swapped that around. And Burnley is one of them. So it's really hard. And Arsenal are just awful in general. So it's really hard to call what way this game will go. And the fact that it's at Turf Moor.
I'm looking at this going 1-1.
Yeah, I agree with you. One all or a Burnley win, I think.
It's very hard to be enthusiastic whatsoever about. Aubameyang's still out as well, isn't he, with the ban?
Yeah.
He's out for the red card ban. So you have missing Aubameyang and Luis. I just fancy Burnley to nick a goal and make life a living hell for Arsenal and see them struggle more than struggling to score more than one. So I just fancy, I fancy a 1-1 here.
Just the prospect of Mustafi and Socrates facing up against Wood and Barnes. They're in for a horror show.
They're going to break their balls, aren't they?
Okay. And on that beautiful note, we're going to leave it there for this week's podcast. Sorry, it's a bit late for reasons we explained earlier, but we will be back on Monday, hopefully.
We will.
We definitely will be back on Monday or Tuesday or early next week with the game week 26. Thanks for listening. Do follow us on social media and leave us a comment or all those good things.
This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast or online at plpreview.com.